In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
And greetings, brothers and sisters, on this feast day of the protection of the Theotokos. And from the prologue of Ohrid, this is a brief summary. It says that on October 1st, in the year 911, there was an all-night vigil at the Black Rene Church of the Mother of God in Constantinople. And this is where they had some of her relics of her veil and her, you know, girdle and so forth were kept there as relics. And the church was very crowded that night, and in these all-night vigils, they literally would go all night, you know, and you know, start beginning at, you know, around midnight or earlier and go pretty much all night. So present at this service was St. Andrew the Fool for Christ and his disciple Epiphanius. And at about 4 o'clock in the morning, the Mother of God appeared above the people with a veil spread over her outstretched hands as though to protect them with this covering. She was clad in golden-crusted purple and shone with an unspeakable radiance, surrounded by apostles, saints, martyrs, and virgins. And seeing this vision, St. Andrew gestured toward it and asked Epiphanius, "Do you see how the Queen and Lady of all is praying for the whole world?" Epiphanius replied, "Yes, Father, I see it and stand in dread." As a result, this commemoration was instituted to remind us both of this event and of the Mother of God's constant protection whenever we prayerfully seek that protection, that shelter in distress. And so we can learn several things from this particular event that this feast is based on. That one is that with the Mother of God, with all the saints in heaven, stand ready to come to our help and protection whenever we are in need and pray for that help. And two, that the church is also established as a place of sanctuary and an open portal for us to the kingdom of heaven. And three, that God has raised up holy saints from our midst on this earth to bear witness to the wonderful mysteries and heavenly assistance available to us. St. Dmitry of Rostov, who lived between 1651 and 1752, writes about this feast in his great collection of the lives of the saints. And he recalls how in ancient times, King David built a great and lofty pillar on a high mount between Zion and Jerusalem. And upon that tower, there were hung shields and weapons of every type necessary for the battle and defense of the city of Jerusalem. And also from this great height, any approaching enemy could be seen a great way off so that the alarm could be sounded and the city could be defended. And in addition to providing for the defense for Jerusalem, this tower was also a very beautiful adornment and stood higher than all of the other buildings in Jerusalem. St. Dmitry, therefore, compares the Most Holy Theotokos to this tower of King David, since she is both the adornment of our Holy Church and our great protectress against all our enemies, both visible and invisible. And it's also significant that this wondrous vision took place during the all-night vigil in church when all the people were there praying. Although only St. Andrew, the Fool for Christ, and his disciple Epiphanius were blessed to witness this heavenly appearance of the Mother of God and the saints, nevertheless, it was right there in their midst that this took place. And truly, each time we gather together to pray and to celebrate the Divine Liturgy together, the Kingdom of Heaven opens its doors to us, and we receive the grace of the Holy Spirit and the protection of the Mother of God and the holy saints who are always praying for us. Such a vision like this also helps remind us of the heavenly church, of which our humble chapel here is merely an earthly image. So when we gather together to pray, you know, we may not quite have the same kinds of visions that St. Andrew, the Fool for Christ, had, but nevertheless, the saints and the angels and Mother of God really are truly present with us, and the Lord is present, and we pray in various points of the liturgy, we invoke the holy angels to come and be with us. And we trust that they are. You know, whether or not we see them with our bodily eyes is not really that important, you know, because that's where we have to have faith. I mean, if God showed us everything all the time, we could always see all the saints walking around and, you know, all that. You know, we might start to take it for granted or something, or we might, you know, who knows, we might miss the point, you know. But as it is, we have to stretch a little bit. We have to trust that, yep, this is real, you know. And so we also owe really a debt of gratitude to St. Andrew the Fool for Christ's sake and his disciple Epiphanius, because had it not been for their righteous labors and their righteous lives, perhaps this miraculous vision might never have been revealed to us. And this also reveals something about the relationship of the saints in heaven and then we Christians here on earth. And we know that there are many different kinds of saints. There are martyrs, ascetics, unmercenaries, fool for Christ's sake, and other types of saints. And each kind of saint sets an example for us to follow in our own lives. Now, let's take the example of the martyrs. We may not be literally called to physically shed our blood and die, you know, for Christ as the martyrs did. Nevertheless, Christ calls each Christian disciple to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him, which is really a martyric struggle. So the Christian life is constantly calling to us through the scriptures and the Holy Fathers to sacrifice ourselves for Christ, even if only in small ways, such as by forcing ourselves to do the right thing, even when we don't feel like it, or to ask forgiveness of one another, or to love one another, or to help one another, however we can. You know, somebody asks our help, but we go, I want to watch my favorite TV program, the heck with them, I'm not going to answer the phone. But we go, no, I better talk to them, you know, because you know, I know that they're struggling with something. So we make a little sacrifice. You know, that might not seem like much, but that's the right spirit. You know, it's martyric. So by the same token, foolishness for Christ's sake is a rather rare path of sanctity, even amongst the saints. You know, of all the various saints, we don't see too many fool for Christ's sake, but there are some. I mean, to pretend to be insane and to invite others to scorn and mock them is a very difficult spiritual life to follow. You know, St. Xenia, the fool for Christ's sake, we read about her life of Petersburg or other ones. And yet, you know, throughout the scriptures and the writings of the Holy Fathers, we are taught that even the way of the cross is considered foolish by the world. You know, but it is the power and glory of the church for Christians. I think St. Paul, you know, writes about this. And the wisdom of this world, of course, exalts the rich and famous and the powerful. But it sort of scorns and looks down upon the humble and lowly. So unless you're, you know, some kind of supermodel, or unless you, you know, are fabulously wealthy or incredibly famous, you know, you're really just kind of a loser, you know, in the eyes of the world, you know. But these are just silly things, you know, because the real important thing is our devotion to Christ and our spiritual life. That's what really makes a person worth something and valuable. So in a small way, we too really are therefore called to imitate these fool for Christ's sake by striving to please God rather than to be praised by the world. And while this is hard for us to do sometimes, there really are great spiritual benefits to be gained when we have, you know, freed ourselves from the tyranny of fashion and conformance to the worldly standards in order to be faithful to Christ and our Holy Church. And of course, we see this, you know, as we're kids, we're growing up in high school, you know, we want to fit in and we want to be cool. And, you know, if everybody's wearing, you know, blue socks or red socks, you know, we want to wear the same thing so we're acceptable, you know. And then, of course, the fashions are constantly changing, you know, and so we can never really keep up with it. But really now that we've, you know, grown up here and we're Christians, we really want to please God and not worry so much about what the world thinks. So, let us pray that, O most pure Virgin, that we are in need of thy protection every day, and we ask that you come to our aid and protect us from the wicked spirits and grant us refuge on the dread day of judgment. Glory be to our God, Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.